Let's take our Bibles again this evening and open again to the passage that we were in this morning. First Kings 18. I want to return to the passage tonight and consider some more concerning the theme of revival. This morning we considered from this passage the theme of revival and how God would send revival to his people, even though there seemed to be no human reason why there would be revival. But God is able, and there is no rival to the God who desires to bring revival. He desires to be able to have his glory be known and manifested among his people. As I considered those thoughts, and as I consider the truth that we find here tonight again as we come to 1 Kings 18, I'm reminded that there is no political power that is able to impede the work of God. There are no manner of false prophets that can hold at bay the truth of the Word of God, for God has promised that his Word would go forth, that it would have power, and that there is no way that the gates of hell could prevail against the Church of Jesus Christ. All that God requires is a people prepared to receive him, a people prepared to glorify his name again. We learned this morning that God sent revival amongst the people of Israel when the altar of God was rebuilt and all of man's foolish ways were done away and set aside. And folks, I want to say to you again tonight, God wants to do that again. God wants to be able to have himself be known. And so tonight we want to consider again from this passage the question that Elijah asked. And we find that in 1 Kings 18. Look with me, if you would, at verse 21. As Elijah now comes with all the people of Israel gathered together, along with the prophets of Baal there on Mount Carmel. Verse 21, it says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." Let's pray together, please, and then we'll take up some thoughts and consideration from that verse of Scripture tonight. Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you tonight that we're able to come again and come back to this passage of Scripture, Lord, to learn more from it. Lord, we realize that you are a God that is able to do all things. There is nothing that is too hard for you. Lord, we look around and we see things from the mind of men and we say, that's impossible. And with men, it is. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Now, Lord, I pray tonight that as we come back to a passage of Scripture, Lord, as we consider the question, Lord, I ask and pray that your people would simply ask, how long? How long until we are ready to respond to the God of revival? And Father, we ask and pray that you would do a work within our hearts, even, Lord, tonight. We'll thank you and praise you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've mentioned over the last couple weeks, as we mentioned this morning and again tonight, we're just 2 weeks away from our evangelistic meetings with Brother Mark Herbster and with his family. The question that some might ask is, why do we set a time aside such as this, and why do we have meetings? You're going to ask us to come out on several nights throughout the course of the week. Why bother going through all of the expense? Why go through all of the hassle? Is it really necessary to, in this day and age, have meetings such as this? My answer is simply, yes, it is. And I had two basic reasons why I believe these meetings ought to continue on and go forward. Number one, I believe there is the purpose of what we're speaking about even tonight, the purpose of revival. I believe there's a need for God's people to come apart, that they would have to decide whether or not they're going to follow God or follow the ways of the world. We live in this world day in and day out, and it is easy for us to get caught up in this world, its philosophy, its way of life. And there is a time when we need to be called aside and be challenged with the thought of, will I be following God or will I follow this world? And folks, I want to say to you tonight, there's a need in our life for us to be able to decide, will I follow God or not? Am I going to live by the philosophy of the world or by the philosophy of the Word and the principles of God? But the second purpose for these meetings is the purpose of evangelism. We want to see folks saved. That's why we create invitation cards. We ask you to take those into your sphere of influence, to be able to invite folks to come and to make it possible, easy for them to come. So how do we make it easy for people to come? By inviting them maybe to your home for dinner before and then bringing them with you to the service that night. Or to say, if you come to the service tonight, we'll go out and have a cup of coffee afterwards and enjoy some time together. But invite them and make it possible for them to come. It's not just enough to throw a card down in front of someone and say, I hope you come. But try to find a way to bring them in, even as we sang tonight. Why? That the good news of the gospel would go forth, that folks would respond and be saved. That's our desire, and I trust that all of us would echo to that desire a hearty amen. That there would be both revival and there would be an outreach and evangelism, and folks would be saved. The question that we have tonight to ask is simply the one that Elijah asked. How long? Elijah is now brought before the people of Israel. This people that have gone into apostasy. They had followed their king and queen, Ahab and Jezebel, who had done away with the prophets of God, who had cast down the altars of God and erected altars to Baal. And they were worshiping Baal. It was the national religion in Israel at the time. And Elijah now comes to the people and he asks them the simple question, how long? How long will you halt between these two opinions? And so as we come to 1 Kings 18, Elijah is now prepared to enter into spiritual battle with the 450 prophets of Baal. He is also to enter into that battle for the souls of the people of Israel. And he asks the question, how long? Tonight we ask the same question. How long? In essence, this morning, we were asking the question, how long until God sends revival? The question tonight is simply this. How long until you respond to the God who wants to send revival? Because that's the question that Elijah is asking. How long halt ye between two opinions? So I want to consider that question that's been asked by Elijah tonight. How long? It's a good question. One that deserves our consideration. One that deserves thought and some introspection on our part to consider how long. Let me ask you this question tonight. Are you satisfied with the current state of things within religion today? Are you satisfied with the state of Christianity today? Are you satisfied with the state of the church today? I think most of us would say, no. I don't think we are. I don't think we should be. We look around at the church today and we realize that the church is waning. Now we realize that Paul said that that would happen in the end times. But folks, that's not a reason for us to accept it and just go ahead along with it. I think you and I need to be asking how long until we are ready to respond to God who wants to do a work of revival in our hearts. So how long? Elijah again asks, how long halt ye between two opinions? Basically, the question could be restated this way. How long will you hop from side to side, never settling down? How long will you go back and forth between the two opinions? At one moment you say, I'm the child of God. And the next you say, I'm a follower of Baal. How long will you go from side to side? Put it in our modern terms. How long will you hop from side to side between God and the world? Between God and the flesh, the spirit and the flesh. How long? How long will we continue to play the game where we just teeter from side to side, never deciding whom we will serve? How long until you fully surrender to the Lord in every area of life and stop living in conformity to the world? Paul asked that question, really. Really, he gave the admonition to us to come to a complete stop of those things in Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 literally reads, and stop being conformed to this world. Instead, be you transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How long till our life is truly laid on the altar? How long until we come to the realization that our life is not our own? That we were bought with a price, and therefore we are to glorify God in our body and spirit, which are His. How long? How long do we're able to say, like the Apostle Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. How long? How long until we are willing to take God at His word and trust Him with our lives, confident that all things will be for our good? How long will we look to Him? How long will it take us to finally trust Him with all of our hearts? How long until we believe that God will never give us more than we are able to bear, but instead will always lighten the load, as He tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Elijah comes to the people of God and he simply says, how long? How long will you continue to play this game? How long will you continue to go from side to side to claim to be the people of God and want His blessing, yet worship Baal, having rejected the God who loves you with an everlasting love? Amen. How long? And folks, the question is really the same for us, and it has been the same throughout the ages. This is not a new battle for us. It has always been the battle of mankind. But we need to come back and be asked the question point blank, how long for you? How long until you respond to God who wants to bring about a revival of your heart? Consider some examples with me in the scripture of this battle that we have faced and are facing today. Consider with me, first of all, from the very beginning, Adam. God came to Adam and God said, Adam, I have placed you here in the garden. And all that God required of Adam was obedience to one simple command. You can have everything but the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All things are yours richly to enjoy, but I ask one request. Don't eat of the fruit of this single tree. The choice was for Adam, will I choose obedience to God or will I choose my own desires? Tonight, that may be your choice. The Spirit of God may be speaking to your heart, may have been speaking to your heart for quite some time. And the choice is, will I obey God or will I fulfill my own desires? How long until you respond to God? Consider Abraham with me. God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me to a land that I will later show you of. I will give it to you, I will bless you, and I will multiply your seed. But Abraham, it's your choice. Follow me. Abraham had to choose to either follow God or stay in the comfort of his own home. What if God came to you tonight and simply said, come, follow me? Well, Lord, I don't know if I could actually leave the place that I'm so comfortable with. I've been here all my life. My roots are here. I'm settled here. By the way, can I remind you, Abram was 75 years old when God said, leave your country, leave your kindred, and follow me. There's no age requirement, folks, on us following God. But the choice is ours. Will I follow him? Or do I want my own desires? Parents, the choice is yours when it comes to your children. Are you going to encourage them to follow God? Or do you choose to keep them close to you? Again, I'm surprised at how many Christian parents today aren't willing to let their children go. They're not yours permanently. They're yours temporarily. They're God's eternally. What choice will you make? God may be speaking to us in those things. Will we follow him or not? Abraham also had the choice. Will I trust the promise of God? Or I trust in the flesh? The promise of God is found in Sarah's womb. The arm of the flesh was found in Hagar's womb. He did stumble and he did fall. But he came back to the right choice, and the choice is still ours today. Moses was given the choice. Would he enjoy the pleasures of sin, or would he suffer the afflictions with God's people? I reminded our young people this in Sunday school a couple weeks back as we looked at Abraham as an example of godliness. You have to consider what, Moses gave up. Egypt was at the height of its political power. It was the world empire, and he could enjoy life to its fullest. But he chose to suffer with the slave people because they were God's people, his people. Which do you choose today? The pleasures of this world or the sufferings that come from serving Christ? Joshua came to the people of God and said to them, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You go through the prophets in the Old Testament, all the minor prophets, and basically every minor prophet can really boil down to this. Will you choose God or will you choose idols? Will God be preeminent or will you go after something else that has taken the place of God? And by the way, anything that takes the place of God is an idol. How long until you give up that idol and put God in his rightful place? Peter was brought to a choice. Peter wanted to know, or one had to choose between the will of God, which was the cross, or the will of man, politics. See, Peter and all of Israel were really looking for Christ to set up his earthly kingdom, to overthrow the political power. But that wasn't the will of God. The reason that the Messiah came, he came that he might die upon the cross of Calvary, that we might be forgiven of our sin, given a home in heaven eternally. And Peter had a choice to make. Which will you choose? The will of God or the will of man? What do you choose tonight? God's will or man's will? In Romans chapter 7, Paul is brought to a point of choice. He says in verse 15, for that which I do I allow not, and what I would that I do not, but what I hate that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that is it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul said, there's daily a choice in my life. Daily a choice. I can either choose to live holy, acceptable unto God, or I can choose sin. And Paul says, I'm frustrated at times because I find myself choosing that which I don't really want to allow. And folks, you and I are brought to a decision and a choice. Which will I do? Not only can we see those examples in Scripture, but consider just a few in early church history. Men like John Huss had to make a decision. Will I deny Christ and live? Or will I stand for the faith and stand for my Lord and die? You go back into the early 1900s and there was a battle between what we call the modernists and the fundamentalists. Those who wanted to be true to the Word of God, those who wanted to stand for the faith once delivered, and those who wanted to distort and pervert the Word of God. And the problem was that the denominations were being run by the liberals. The fundamentalists stood. We won't compromise the truth. You know what happened? They lost their churches. They lost their pensions. They lost everything. That's where, in many ways, the independent movement began. We don't believe the power rests in a denomination. We believe it rests in a congregation. But folks, the reality is we have a choice to make. Which will you choose? The question is, how long till you and I respond? The question to be asked. But secondly, I want you to note with me the challenge that's to be faced. Because this question poses a challenge to us all. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord Jehovah be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. There's the challenge. We cannot teeter back and forth. We can't walk the fence line. We can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it too, to use those kind of phrases. Choose. Choose today. And that's the challenge. You cannot say, I want to follow God, but still want to keep some part of you in this world. You must choose. There is a challenge to be faced. I want you to notice a few things about this challenge. Number one, I want you to note that this challenge is simple. I don't know about you, but I prefer simple versus complex. And I like that God makes often our choices pretty simple. There are only two parts. It is one or the other. Ever go into a restaurant and when you open up the menu, there's just too much to choose from? What are we going to have? I don't know. I could have this. I could have that. I really like that. But then you try to barter with the people at your table. You know, if you get this and I get that, we could split it up and we can do that. No, I want my own. Can't have two. That's being greedy. Sometimes the choice is really hard to make because there's just so much to choose from. Years ago, I remember my wife and I, we went out to dinner with our pastor and his wife. We went into this little restaurant, and we had to wait a little bit to get in there. But when we got in there, they handed us a menu, and there was just one little front of a piece of paper that you got to choose from. That was it. I looked over the menu, and I said, there's one thing that I'll eat on that menu. My choice was simple. Understand the choice and the challenge put before us tonight is real simple. God or Baal? God or not God? Christ, the Spirit, or your flesh? Put it in simple terms that I heard in my senior trip. There are only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. It's that simple. But I also want you to notice with this challenge that it's straightforward. There is no doubt what the prophet wants the people to do. Choose. Notice he doesn't say, think about it for a little bit. Go home and pray about it and see what you ought to do. Ponder the question for a while. No. How long halt ye between two opinions? Choose. Folks, do you realize that it is that straightforward tonight for you? If you want God's work in your life and you want to experience the reviving of a heart
then it's a very simple and it's very straightforward. Make your choice tonight. Choose who you will serve. I also want you to note this challenge is self-oriented. It's personal. You have to decide. There are some things in life I wish I could decide for other people, but I don't get to do that. Even as a pastor, I don't get to decide for other people. Sometimes I wish I could. It would make my life easier if I could decide for you sometimes. And you probably feel the same for me. But the reality is, we don't get to do that. I choose for me, but you have to choose for you. I can choose for my family, like Joshua did, but I can't choose for yours. The choice belongs to you. The decision is yours. But I also want you to note with me that this challenge is not only simple, straightforward, and self-oriented. It is a severe challenge. There are no other options given. You are confronted with a choice. The choice has to be made, and the decision will impact your life. Here's what I want you to get tonight. You are choosing tonight one way or the other. You choose to put it off. You're choosing to continue to halt between two opinions. That means you're choosing Baal. You have to make a choice. You can't put that off. You can't say, I don't have time to decide on that tonight. God brought you here tonight. The question's been asked to you. The challenge is put before you. And the severity is you have to choose. And you will choose tonight. Not because I say raise your hand or stand up or come forward. But the Holy Spirit of God is going to make you choose. Now you can choose to be indifferent tonight, but that's your choice. And if that creates a consequence, and it most likely will, that's your consequence to pay. When Elijah came to the people of God, he says, I have for you a choice and a challenge. It's real simple, very much straightforward. It's your choice, but it's severe. God or Baal? Same is given to you and I tonight from God. I want you to notice with me now the response to be given. I want you to begin with me, first of all, here in 1 Kings 18. Elijah comes and says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. I want you to look at the very last sentence. And the people answered him, not a word. Sad silence could be your response tonight. They wouldn't even answer the prophet a word. The first time we find the people answering the prophet is when he says to them, let it be by fire. Baal, being the god of fire, they said, sounds good to us. But their sad silence really spoke to their heart condition. There is no response. Confronted with the truth, they did and said nothing. But again, I want you to note that their silence speaks to their decision to continue with Baal. When you refuse to respond to the Spirit of God, you are choosing against the Lord.
And the sad reality, folks, is that time and time again, I believe the Spirit of God tries to move among His people and speak to the heart of His people, and they refuse to answer Him a word. Just sad silence. Will that be your response tonight? Is that your response when the Spirit speaks? Turn over with me, if you would, to the book of Daniel. I want you to see another response that can be made at the time of choice and time of decision. Daniel chapter 3, we find three friends of Daniel, best known by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel chapter 3, they were given a choice. Will you worship the idol erected by Nebuchadnezzar? In essence, worship Nebuchadnezzar himself, or will you stand and only worship God? When the music began to play, all the men fell but three. They were pretty easy to pick out. Word was brought to the king, and the king called them to himself. And he begins to explain to them the severity of their choice. And in his pride, I almost think he kind of felt like, maybe you Jews just didn't understand. Maybe it's lost in translation, so let me explain again. When the music plays, fall down or die. I love verse 16 and 17. I really do. And I would hope and pray that most of God's people would respond with such a proud proclamation for their God. Look at what they said. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. He said, listen, there is no one that can deliver you. Not even your God can deliver you from me, because I'm that powerful. And they said, listen, we're going to be delivered one way or the other. They were proud to be followers of God. And they had no problem proclaiming that. When you're at work and things come up, and you have to stand and defend the Lord because there's no other way, what do you do? I remember years ago, my dad made it real simple for me. I took my first job. He said, if they ask you to work on Sundays and Wednesdays, your first words are, I quit. It's that simple. I said, yes, sir. I went in, that was explained in the hiring process, no problem, you don't have to worry about that. About 2 weeks in, I got the schedule, it said work on Sunday. I went home to my dad, I said, the schedule says I work on Sunday, so that means tomorrow I go and say I quit. He said, have a conversation with your boss, and if he refuses, yes, you quit. I went in and had a conversation with my boss, and he said, sorry, nothing I can do. I said, okay, I quit. He said, you got to be kidding me. I said, no, sir, I quit. God's first. He said, well, I can work something out for you. I said, okay, we can work something out. I have permission to do this. So we worked out the deal. The next week, he put it on again. I walked into his office. Didn't have to talk to my dad this time. I said, sir, I just want to let you know it's been fun working with you. I quit. I'm done. No, you can't do that to me. I said, yes, I am. I'm doing it. I'm done. I'm out of here today. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to work my shift today. He said, you know what? I have a better idea. I said, what's that? He said, you'll never have to work again on a Sunday and a Wednesday or any other time that you don't want to because your church is open. I said, okay. I continue to work for them. Continue to do my job for them. Now, folks, that's not patting me on the back, because I'll be honest with you. At that point in time, I probably would have rather worked than gone to church. But I knew well enough not to defy my father's word. And my dad made a decision for our family, we're going to honor God. More Christians need to stand up and proudly proclaim they're a follower of God. And if it costs me, it costs me, but it really doesn't matter, because my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Is that you? I like Daniel's resolve in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel is taken from his country, brought to Babylon. And in verse 8, we find a calm conviction. Daniel's resolve. He simply says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the kings and eaten with the wine which we drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. God honored when he chose to honor God. There was a calm conviction. There was a calm conviction that continued in his life when the king came and said that no one could pray to any other deity except to me, the king. And Daniel said, that's really nice, but there is only one God, and his name is Jehovah, and I pray unto him. And Daniel never wavered. And he even had him spend the night with some comfortable lions in a den. But that was okay. There was a calm, a conviction, a response when a choice needed to be made. I think of 1 Samuel chapter 17, the story of David, as Goliath comes and as he blasphemes the name of God. He defies the armies of Israel. See if your God is anything compared to me. David, a teenage boy, a shepherd, is the only one willing to fearlessly and with fervor make a choice. Because David understood there's a cause. What was the cause? Israel. No. The cause, Jehovah. Daniel said, I'll take my sling and my five smooth stones. He walks out onto the battlefield, looks up at Goliath, and that was quite a look up. He said, by the hand of God today, your head comes off your shoulders. You will die. Fearless and fervored for God. You know, that never left him. It also inspired men around him. Wasn't that long ago, even in Sunday school, Weston pointed out the mighty men of David. Fearless men who understood the cause. And nothing would cause them to move. They made their choice. And it was Jehovah. We have a choice to make. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul makes a choice. I want you to see it with me, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look with me, if you would, beginning in verse 24. Paul is recounting that which he had endured as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the cities, in perils in the wilderness, in the perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, and fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, and the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Paul says, understand what I've gone through. He would later say to the church of Philippi, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, you read 2 Corinthians 11 and the question is, Paul, why? Why serve God? Why have such passion for the churches? Why care? Look at what you have suffered. Why? Why persevere? Because God is worth the choice. A passionate perseverance. In the Apostle John, we see deep devotion to the Lord, he whom the Lord loved. He, the apostle that lived the longest upon the face of the earth, and never once wavered. And when he saw the Lord at the end of his life, the Bible says he fell down and he worshiped him, never wavering from his Lord, not even once. So the question that we have is this: how long till you decide God is worth the choice? Because a choice has to be made, and you're going to make one tonight. Not because I demand it, but because the Spirit of God lays it in front of you tonight. You can no longer halt between two opinions if we want revival. If we expect God to do great and mighty things which we know not because we call upon Him, then we have to choose the Lord. That means we have to choose to lay aside self. When you lay aside self, you're going to have to lay aside your bitterness, your wrath, your anger, your clamor, your evil speaking. You're going to have to lay aside your jealousies. You're going to have to lay aside your hurt feelings. You're going to have to lay aside your own desires and your own wishes and your own plans and your own ways. You're going to have to lay aside your own understanding, but instead trust Him with all of your heart. You have a choice tonight. Will you choose God, or will you continue with Baal? Throughout human history, God has brought His people to a place of decision, a place of choice. The decision lies at our feet. There's no denying the choice. It cannot be simply a choice of emotion, for that will only last for but a moment. It'll last as long as an emotion lasts. And folks, emotions don't last all that long. They change very quickly. It cannot be a decision of embarrassment, because that soon will also pass. It can't be a decision based upon what others choose, because they soon may change their minds. See, it's your choice to make. It is simple. It is straightforward. But I want you to know it's severe. Elijah comes to the people of God and asks, how long? If God is God, then serve Him. If Baal, serve him. Let me ask you tonight, have you ever put God to the test? You know what you find? He is God, and there is none else. Amen. Amen. There is nothing He cannot do. There is no request He cannot answer. There is no wisdom that He cannot give. He alone is God. Amen. Choose Him. Amen. But that choice is yours tonight. Will you follow the God of revival? Let's pray, please.